For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Lord Supplies, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Paul has been, in the last couple of chapters, talking to them about the collection that he wanted them to take for the poor in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had gone through a lot of problems, severe persecution. And the Christians in Jerusalem were in great physical need. And so Paul is asking the Gentile churches to show their love in the body of Christ for their brothers in Jerusalem by sending an offering by his hand to them. And in chapter 8, he talks to them about the gathering together of these funds. In chapter 9, he continues his appeal to them to give for the aid of the church in Jerusalem. And so, as touching the ministering to the saints, it's really superfluous for me to write to you, because he said, I know how willing you are to do these things, the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them which are in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. So Paul is talking to them again about ministering to the needs of the church in Jerusalem. And he said that, I know a year ago you were ready to do it, and I shared with others your willingness, and they became excited over your willingness, and it was an inspiration to them to give. Your zeal has been an inspiration, provoked others. Now I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. And so Paul sent Titus and another brother ahead to receive the collections that they had taken up to help the church in Jerusalem. And Paul's a little concerned now. He's been boasting of how generous and willing the Corinthians were in supporting, and now he's hoping that they'll come through with his boasting of them. And so, I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I have said, and as I have declared of you, you might indeed be ready to give. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So Paul is sort of trying to cover his bases in a sense. He's been bragging all about them, told the churches in Macedonia, oh, these guys are really super givers and all, and they're really ready to aid. And now if I come and you haven't done anything, you know, I'll be embarrassed and you'll be embarrassed and all. So it's encouraging them in this giving. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, Paul really didn't want any offerings taken while he was there. He wanted it to all be done in advance. Paul wanted to preclude any criticism that might come of his ministry, saying, well, Paul's just in it for the bucks. And he was extremely careful in this regard, not wanting to bring a reproach to Jesus Christ in the matter of giving. Unfortunately, there are many who do bring a reproach to Jesus Christ because of the emphasis that they make upon giving, and there are all types of ways to fleece the flock of God. And believe me, these clever evangelists have discovered every way, and even some that weren't there. But Paul didn't want any kind of accusation that he was fleecing the church. And therefore, he wanted it all to be taken care of. He sent a couple fellows in advance so that all of the giving would be over with by the time he got there, that he could just receive what was given and take it on to the church in Jerusalem, but didn't want any collections made while he was there. It's, to me, an extremely embarrassing thing to have your name or whatever used as the tool for raising funds. A few years back, I was over in Hawaii speaking at a Bible conference where I had been invited to speak at this Bible conference. And so the first night, when the fellow went to take the offering, he took about 10 minutes. And, you know, we have asked our brother Chuck to come over here, and it cost, you know, the money and all to get him here, and we want to make sure that he's well taken care of and all, and so we want you to really give tonight, you know, to provide for our dear brother Chuck's needs and all this kind of stuff. And I sat there on the platform just embarrassed, silly. And so when I finally got a chance to get up, I said, I appreciate what this brother said about your poor brother Chuck. But I want you to know I'm not going to take one penny for being here. For I have an extremely wealthy father who takes care of all of my needs. And I don't have to depend upon people to provide for my needs, because my father so adequately takes care of me, gives me a generous expense account, and supplies all of my needs. And so if you want to take up offerings here, that's fine. If you want to give, that's good. But don't give for poor brother Chuck, because he's not going to take a cent from you. I'm here to give and not to receive. And I was just really embarrassed. I don't like my name used as the, you know, the goat or the gimmick or whatever to give people to give. I do trust in my Father to supply my needs, and He does, and He's very good about it. He's very faithful in that. And so, really, I sort of modeled myself after Paul in this regard. I have always been disturbed over the emphasis that churches so often place upon giving. And that is why I've perhaps gone the other direction in the pendulum and say so little about giving. That is why we never mention to you any needs that might exist. Because we're not looking to you, we're looking to the Lord to supply for the work of the ministry, and when God guides, God always provides. And I always look a little askance at these who have been led by God into some great program, and the whole thing's going to fail unless you bail God out. I somehow don't conceive God as being on the brink of bankruptcy every other week and ready to fold His whole program because people don't come through and rescue him from financial insolvency. So Paul had this same attitude towards giving. Didn't want any offerings taken while he was there. Didn't want any emphasis placed upon money. Go ahead and get it all in before I get there, so that when I arrive, there will be no collections taken while I am there. But in the giving, Paul does mention an interesting basic law of God. And that law of God is a spiritual law. And it is interesting because it is hard at times to understand just how it can work. And I don't know the mechanics of how it works. All I do know is that it does work. Now, there are a lot of physical laws that I know work. I don't know how they work. I understand a little bit about the laws of magnetism, the attraction of opposite poles and the repelling of like poles. I know that the positive charges repel each other. Now, why they repel, I don't know. Why opposite poles attract? I don't know. I know they do. From the time I was a child, I knew that I could take a magnet and slowly put it down and finally watch the nail jump up to the magnet, and some invisible force that was grabbing that nail and pulling it up to the magnet and holding it to the magnet. Later, as I began to study a little bit of physics, I understood that opposite poles attract. Now, I know that. Why they do, I don't know. I know a little bit about electricity. Enough not to put my finger in a socket. I know that we can project, and this I don't know, whether or not the electrical charges are going in the wire or around the wire. That I don't know, but I know that they can be transmitted along a wire. And I understand a little bit about alternate currents and direct currents, but just how it works, I'm not sure. I know that the laws are there, and I learned to use to advantage those laws. I know that gravity is a natural law, that it works. I know not to defy it. Now, why it is that mass attracts, I don't know. But I know it does. The same with spiritual laws that are also established by God within the universe. And though I can't explain how they work, I know they do. And so you learn to live by these laws, you learn to follow these laws, and to reap the results. Now, I know that there is a spiritual law that declares, give, and it shall be given unto you, measured out, pressed down, running over. Now, just how it is that the more you give to God, the more you receive, I don't know how that operates. But Paul brings out this spiritual law here. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that's the spiritual law. And when you put it like this, I can begin to understand it a little bit, how the more you give, the more you'll get. For Paul here puts it in a framework that I can begin to understand a bit. If I am sowing wheat in the field, it stands to reason, the more seed I sow, the greater harvest I will have. Now, if I want to be very careful about how I sow and just take the seeds and toss them out here and there, then I'm only going to have little wheat shoots here and there. I'm not going to have much of a harvest. But if I go out and sow just abundantly, then I'm going to reap an abundant harvest. So putting it in that kind of a framework, I can begin to understand a little bit how the more you give, the more you get. The more God returns, the greater the harvest. And so Paul brings it over into this law of giving, saying that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, but if you will sow bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. That is a law of God. Interesting, it is the only law that God challenges you to prove. A lot of people say, I'm going to prove God now, but God has only challenged you to prove him in one area. And that is in this law of giving. And God said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not pour out unto you a blessing that you cannot contain. And that proving him is in the giving to God of tithes and offerings. So there is a basic law. It works. I can't explain how it works. All I can do is assure you that it does work. God says, prove me and see if it doesn't. Only in the one area of giving. Now every man, and here's how we are to give, every man, according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of pressure. For God loves a hilarious giver. And that's what the Greek word means. God takes it as a personal affront, and I would too if I were God. When someone gives him something and then gripes about it. You ever had someone give you something and then they go around and complain and about what they gave to you? Giving grudgingly, my feeling is always, keep it, man. I don't want it. I don't like gifts with strings attached. Many times things are given to the church, and I really don't like to question motives. But sometimes people sort of let it slip. This chair was given to us by our grandmother, and we don't want to get rid of it. We don't really have any use for it, and we don't really want it, but we thought we'd give it to the church, because we don't want to throw it away. And then it becomes our obligation to put it someplace and to keep it for grandma's sake, But God doesn't want you to give anything to him begrudgingly. With an, all right, I'll give it to you, kind of an attitude. And God as much as says, hey, keep it. I don't want it. I don't need it. Nor does God want your gift to be by pressure. Someone really putting the pressure on you, Everybody's looking now to see what you're going to give. God doesn't want the gift to come by necessity, by constraint, by pressure. But what you give to God, which God receives and accepts, is that which you give with just a cheerful heart, giving hilariously. Lord, here, I love it to give to God. Just, it's a joy to be able to give. And only that should you really give to God. That which is given hilariously, because it is only that which God really respects and honors. So you're better off to keep it than to give under pressure, constraint, or grudgingly. You're better really off to keep it, and you would be better off if you'll just keep it and only give what you can give with a hilarious heart, because of your love for him. So every man is purposed in his own heart. So let him give. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That is God's return now to you. You have given to God hilariously. God will never be a debtor to you. Remember that. God will never be a debtor to man. As the scripture said, who hath given and it has not been recompensed unto him again? And as Jesus said, give and it shall be given, measured out, pressed down, running over, because God's not going to be your debtor. So God is able to make all grace abound towards you, taking care of all of your needs, every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And so he puts together here actually some of the Psalms in this verse. Has dispersed abroad, given to the poor, his righteousness remains. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, or God, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And so God, who gives the seed to the sower, gives us the bread, may he multiply the seed that you have sown and just increase your fruits. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving unto God. And so may God just return to you riches untold.
Get ready to journey through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation with one of the most trusted Bible teachers of our time, Pastor Chuck Smith. Digitally remastered T2000 series, topical Bible teachings recorded Sunday mornings live at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa between 1979 and 1985. These timeless messages are now available in a convenient portable format. The T2000 series includes 271 MP3 audio files stored on an easy-to-use 8-gigabyte reusable flash drive. Learning from Pastor Chuck is simple. Just insert the flash drive into your computer, transfer the files, and you're ready to listen anywhere. Upload the teachings to your phone or smart device and take Pastor Chuck's clear, powerful Bible teaching with you on the road, at home, or wherever God leads you. And yes, the flash drive is completely reusable for your personal storage needs. Order your T2000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The T2000 series, timeless truth, powerful teaching, ready when you are. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied. And may he bring to your remembrance those things which he has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and his will and his plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 9. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.